Welcome, 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 everyone. This is the greatest season of your life. Let your ear hear your mouth say it, proclaim it, declare it, believe it, walk in it. Say it, see it, seize it. This is a great season. This is a great hour. God's doing such incredible things. But it isn't like God just chose to do something today. God is ever present, and he's constantly wanting to perform his wonders. He just wants us to see it. And it really is all about knowing what to look for. Seek him, you'll find. And God is faithful to show us what he wants us to see if we're hungry enough and willing enough to see it. And today, or this evening, depending on when you're watching, I have my daughter, Lene, with me again. And we're going to be talking about, we're talking about salvation, and we're going to talk about the connection of your conscious mind, but then what it prevails in your life. I mean, salvation is the forgiveness of sins, and it's through the gift of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and eternal life through the resurrection of his body from the dead by the power of the Father. And that's what the scriptures tell us. And when we believe into it, it becomes a part of who we are, and we are transformed. And that's part of what I want to talk about today. I mean, are you glad you're saved?
Daddy, I am very glad I'm saved.
I know. Every day we talk about that. We both said, and it just sometimes it's just like you just really, it just really rings your bell. You just go, man, thank God I'm saved.
Yeah. And when you've lived in a period of time where you didn't have your peace and everything, and then that came to you, it sure makes you a lot more thankful.
It does, and that changes your world. Yes. I mean, just, God, I'm so thankful. Well, let's talk about, last time we left off, we were talking about salvation. I want to talk about, I want to talk about grace. So, and then I want to talk, let's release our faith for people that something incredible is going to happen. Whatever day you're watching this, something incredible is going to happen. God's going to enlighten your mind. An answer is going to come. Something that God wants to do that you know needs to be done in your life. And beyond that, we have the spirit of prophecy. Peter said, repeating the scripture of Job, or prophesying, prophetically speaking, the word of Joel, in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I see a lot of visions. And on my people I'll pour out my spirit, says the Lord. And this is all, however you think about salvation, that becomes the foundation. If you think about salvation as only having the forgiveness of sins, it sets you up for a lot of challenges in life that you may not have the answer to. So salvation, being forgiven through the grace of God, through the body, the sacrifice of Jesus, opens up an entire world of purpose. God's ways, his thoughts are so far above ours, the word says, that they're like as far as the heavens are above the earth. Certainly not saying we can't have them. He's saying, I'm thinking way higher than you have been thinking. And let's come up here where you can think more highly. And when we think about salvation, again, going back just a little bit, just to recap a little bit, if we think about salvation as I'm forgiven of sin, and now I'm just basically going to, it's a contending, it's a fighting match, an arm wrestling match, and sometimes I'm going to win, and sometimes my flesh is going to win, and sometimes I'm going to be victorious, and sometimes, you know, I'm going to be overcome by whatever it is. That's not the foundation, the true foundation of salvation. The salvation of God, the Word teaches us, and the Word of God, which is our salvation, is sure. It doesn't move. We move when we think we're missing something. And you go ahead and weigh in on what that means to you. When we think we're lacking something, what kind of decisions do we make when we feel like there's something missing? Or what's the wrong and right way to approach it?
Yeah, what I learned is feeling like you're lacking something, when you feel like you're lacking something, you are lacking something. You're lacking the presence of God. If he's dwelling with you, or rather you're dwelling in him, or both, I'm probably getting my words mixed up, but if Christ is with you all the time, as he should be, yeah, if you're one with Christ, you're not going to feel like you're missing anything. But if I let my mind go, if I let my mind have dominion over me for a minute and I go, all right, what could I have that I don't have? What am I missing? I'm missing things. God isn't giving me everything that he should be giving me, and I'm definitely missing things. Sounds pretty silly when you say it, but your mind will slip into those patterns and you'll start thinking it and you'll start making decisions based off that. I need this. Maybe thinking, you know, you'll hear people say, if I just had more money, if I just had a bigger house, if I just had a nicer car. And we've seen people in the media and the industry, you know, they have everything, yet they turn to drugs and alcohol and they're miserable. They can't get that peace because you're looking for something in the world that can only be found through Christ. And something I learned is the more you feed the flesh, the more it wants. Your flesh isn't going to go, okay, I have peace, I have God, I have my family, I'm good. No, it devours. You feed your spirit, and that's what gives you power.
Oh, that is very good. Well, Paul said it like this. He said, whatever state I find myself in, I make myself to be content. And you know what? You have to listen to the heartbeat of God in Paul. And what Paul is literally saying is be thankful. You know, where he said, I've had abundance, I've abounded, and I know how it is to be happy there. I've had want and lack, and I found how to be happy there. That is a life of peace. Your sister and I talked about that, I believe it was the last service, and how to hold on to that. You're talking about the ability to stay on point, to stay on track, and what do we do? Feed your spirit, because your spirit... And this is a misconception. You know, I'm only human. No, you have a little bit of skin and bone, but a lot of spirit and power. And it's the dominant part of who we are. I mean, our realities are intangibles. What we look for. Love, peace, joy, accomplishment, satisfaction, certainty, confidence. You can't see those things. But they exist. Those are the spiritual aspects of who we are. And the true body of our spirit is the will of the Father. God's will is your peace. Yes. God's will is the word says, we are complete in him who is the head of all authority and principality and power. And I want to read a scripture because grace, thinking about grace, like we said, salvation, that's the platform. That's the foundation. I'm going to say it real simple. If you get it wrong in the beginning, you can get it sideways trying to learn everything else. I mean, if salvation is a little bit slanted and a little bit weak and we're only human and we're going to fail and, you know, I'm going to have to fight against evil in order to keep my, you know, our weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through the God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down. It's not talking about spirits, it's talking about the mind, casting down every thought that exalts, whose thoughts? Ours, against the knowledge of God, bringing those thoughts into captivity. Best way to do it is to say, I have sufficiency in all things.
Yeah. I don't lack anything. If you have God, it doesn't matter where you're at in your life. If you have him, you have everything you could ever need.
Yeah, and you know, this too, something that really leads our home is we know if something's happening, God's orchestrating something beyond what we see.
Yes, absolutely. Like you say, he never does one thing. He does many things. And because we're blessed and we get to look at it and go, God is doing something, whether it might, you know, maybe sometimes it doesn't look like God is doing something. Some people call it an attack from the devil. The devil's attacking me, but we look and go, no, God is doing something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, God, the word says, Romans 8:28, we quote it all the time. Mm-hmm. And quoting it is one thing, but
living it,
how do we do, what do you mean? It's me. One of the things God taught me to do is he taught me, you're not reading something I said to someone. You're reading what I've said about someone.
Yeah.
He said it about me. God's word isn't to us. God's word isn't a weight that we have to carry. It's not a burden. God's weight is given to us not as a list of to-dos, mm-hmm. but as a word of identity.
Yeah.
This is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I and you and me. John says, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine. When you think that way, you feel complete because you are. We are complete. Literally, the word perfect in him. Okay, that kind of destroys that, you know, I'm not, I'm only human. No, we're so much more. And this really changed my life. I know it's changed your life. And a lot of people who have just really sunk their teeth into the meat of this word. I'm his perfect will. You're his perfect will. Forget what you are not in yourself. Why would we even go there? Because it's no longer we, the word says. Remember, we've quoted that over and over. But it's Christ. So let's identify who Christ is. Does he lack anything? Does he need anything? Is he running behind? You know, are the years overcoming him and he's not a... No. He is the fullness of all. And where is he? He abides inside of you. And it's that broken thinking, and it comes sometimes from comparing yourself to what you see someone else do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. People on social media and things like to make things look like it's one way. In reality, it's usually not even the way that it looks. You know, if it's not Christ, it isn't anything that you want. He's the fullness of all things. Like you said, he's the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. If you have him, how could you lack anything? How could you think that you don't have anything? He's the fullness of all things, and him is everything. But hearing that is great, but believing it and knowing it is something priceless.
Yeah, that's what we live by, our faith in his word. And here's, and this is what I'm hearing you say. When you believe it, you believe it.
Yes.
We only have to do one thing, just one thing. Do you know what that one thing is?
Just believe God.
Believe God. Mm-hmm. Just believe God. Your world from the genesis of time, the world would have changed. It would have been a different world if they, Adam, Eve, had just believed God. And believe God what? Well, what did he say in his word? You have to get into the word of God, ladies and gentlemen. You just have to. Not you have to as a weight, but you got to see what it says. You have to see what he's saying about you. You have to know how to believe who you are in him. You have to. And this word, again, it's not a list of to-dos. It's a list of identity. You know, it's character traits, it's a mind, it's a life, it's eternity, it's peace and joy and the fullness. And here's a great thing. When you think those things, when you think that way, the word says in Hebrews 10, 22, when you think that way, things start happening around you. Now, I don't always think it's that something new is happening. I think the new thing is there. We just start engaging with it. When we start thinking like Christ, because you can see it and say, wait a minute, this is awesome. God's doing something great in my life. And so often God's separating us from something that's holding us back. Yeah. Like what? Anything. What?
Yeah, it could be anything. Could be a friendship, a relationship, anything that you got when you went and got it yourself. Thought, oh, I need this. I'm going to grab that instead of saying, God has done everything. He is everything. He's done everything, and I have him, so I lack nothing.
Oh, that's really good. The word says, Hebrews 10, 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let's draw near. Let's get a closer look at what God is saying about us in true assurance of faith. What does that faith say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Salvation isn't just about, it is, but it's not only the forgiveness of sins, it's a transformation of our mind. Yeah. And you know, one of the biggest steps we take is that simple step that says, I'll never lack anything. Mm-hmm. God has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. I mean, that's what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, and to know how true that is, and it's not just something you say to yourself to make you feel better. It is true. Yeah. And the truth sets you free. So when you know that and you live in that, it changes how you look at everything. It changes how you feel about people. Mm-hmm. Changes the love that's in your heart. You know, I'm not feeling so angry, or I'm not feeling jealous, and how come this and how come that? But just knowing all things work together for good.
Yeah, that's a big one, the how comes. Mm-hmm. How come I don't have this, or how come I don't have that? And God's saying, I want you to see what you have. We are, the word says we're fearfully and wonderfully made, which means God took great care when he created us. His design, his plan is, it wasn't let's make them and let's see what they do. God says, I want to show you, but I want you to comprehend what I'm saying by faith in me, which doesn't mean just believe that God, everyone, just about everyone in some way or form, believes God is God. The word says only a fool can look up and say there is no God. I mean, if there's creation, there has to be a creator. You know, if there's law, there has to be a lawgiver. God is God. But to believe him, Adam and Eve walked in the presence of the Lord. But Eve said, I think what the serpent's saying makes sense to me. And I know what God said. She quoted what God said, but she said, I think I'm going to try and get it another way. I'm going to try and get it for myself. And that's what you're saying. Get it for yourself. God said, I have given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. And when that is really what you believe, you stop looking for the right in the wrong places. I mean, because what the desires of our heart God gives us, right? But it's looking for it where it doesn't exist.
Yeah, the second that you ask God for his direction or for him to lead you, same, it's going to be right there. You're not going to have to go and look for it and find it, and maybe it's in this, maybe it's in that. No, it's right there, right in front of you, right inside of you. He's already given it to you. Like, he is the fullness of all things. You lack nothing. And that and also just being so thankful. You know, when I've had times in my life when maybe I was a little cranky or something. Not that that has ever happened to me, you know, never, ever. Don't ask my family, please. I just wake up in the morning and I just thank God. Thank you so much for all that you've done for me. Thank you for that I have breath in my lungs, and just being thankful that you woke up that day and that you know something incredible is going to happen.
Yeah, that key. There's a key. Wake up in the morning and go, I'm just thankful to be alive. Literally, yeah. I'm thankful. That honestly is one of my prayers just about every day. God, I thank you for life in this day. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful. And that's why the word says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Because it just sets your mind on the right course for the rest of the process of thoughts you're about to have. Mm-hmm. Like salvation. My salvation is solid in God. I'm not going to live like mere human. I'm going to live like the Son of God.
Yes.
I'm not here to overcome myself and mistakes and try to overcome sin every day. He did that for me. It really is the consciousness. The word says what the old law could not do. It says it couldn't make the worshiper. You know, they bring sacrifice to pay for their sin every year. And the word says, what was lacking, what was weak, it says now the law was good and right in the sense that it pointed you to Christ. It was saying, he's coming. He's going to be this because this is you doing. But this is not enough. Christ is going to come and put away your sin. And the word teaches us that when Christ did it, he cleansed our consciousness. The word says what the old law could not do. It couldn't make you feel guilt-free. It couldn't make you feel like you were a different person. It couldn't. All it did was relate you to that sin. The word says when the worshiper brought his offering every year, he was reminded of his sins. Mm-hmm. When we go to the altar now, we're reminded of our righteousness because we're reminded of Christ, who Christ is, what Christ did. That is the platform, the foundation I'm talking about. We have to take out those excuses of blaming someone, of blaming the devil, of I'm only human, I'm not perfect, I'm going to sin. Listen to what you're saying.
Yeah.
You have made yourself such an idol of failure that you're going to be it's going to be hard to overcome you because that's what you believe.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, this is what I'm doing. He said, I'm giving you the consciousness of righteousness. The consciousness. When you look at me, you're not going to look at your weakness. And that's why he said, consider yourself dead in Christ. Consider that personality, that mind, that attitude, that only human, that imperfect attitude, consider it gone. And we're certainly not saying we're perfect because we do everything right. We're saying we're looking at the perfecter. The word says calls him the author and the perfecter of our faith. And when that foundation is solid, we don't make, and we don't have to make, all the scarring mistakes to learn. We start learning, we take on the mind of Christ, and we start learning. God has given me all things, and when we do, we escape what you're talking about, that feeling. I mean, have you ever been in a place where you went, I tried to get that myself? You ever been there?
Yes, it ended very well. No, it didn't. It ended bad. But you learn, you know, you learn. We all go through things, and what's important is that you come out on the other side of it and you say, okay, now I know how I did it, and now I know how I should do it. And that's all that matters. We've all made mistakes, of course. I have, you haven't, of course.
Yeah, just a few too many. But that's where we go, okay, there's got to be
a better way.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we say we start changing our minds, mm-hmm. how we think. I'm not going to talk about what I'm incapable of or what I lack. The word says, set your mind on him, on things above. So what I do is set my mind and say, as he is, so am I. Greater is he that is in me. Now, he has perfected. I have perfect faith through Christ. It's giving God praise. The other thing it's doing is it's presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And that's, let us draw near with a true heart. My heart is true in Christ. In other words, you're my life now. I'm not going to double talk. I'm not going to talk out of two sides of my mouth. The spring is either fresh water or it's bitter water. A tree is either apples or it's oranges. I mean, it's good fruit or it's bad fruit. It's one or the other. You can't be both. And we have to know that. And here's a problem. When we think in that middle ground or with that middle ground mentality, you never really repent. I love the Psalms. Create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right and righteous spirit in me. That's what changes your mind. Christ came and said, I'm going to lay down my life. So when you begin to think, you start to look at your life, you're going to see mine instead of yours. The condemnation is going to go. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we have attained righteousness and rightness with God through Christ. It's all about God. I mean, you are the purpose of God. You are the will of God. You're the created desire, the heartbeat of God. And the word says what you were thinking, that the earth talking about the scripture is, seek first
the kingdom of God.
And what happens? All these things
will be added to you.
Yes. See, you knew
blanked it. Out. I know that scripture, I promise.
What, Dad? Seek first the kingdom of God and his right way, his righteousness. It's not just I'm seeking the will of God. No, seek first the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God?
Your mind.
The mind of God. No, we, not your mind. We have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
The mind of Christ. I've sought the kingdom. I have the mind of Christ. Some people said to Jesus one day, well, show it to us. He said, it's in you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, religion teaches you that it's somewhere out there. It's somewhere beyond. It's something you have to double up your fist and plow your way and fight your way through. But the word of God, the life of God says, you're not lacking anything. And Lene, you lack nothing. Mm-hmm. You have sufficiency in all things.
Yes.
All things have to work together for your good. But when we don't see those things, we do what you said. Then you reach over here, and as your sister said the other day, you reach over there, you lose your peace. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Salvation is a gift of God. It transforms our consciousness. It shows us how much we have, and in seeing that, it's like going treasure hunting. You start finding all these gifts and these treasures, and you find wisdom. Wisdom, I've watched you grow in wisdom. I mean, we've talked about it many times and said you have wisdom beyond your years, and we see that in you. And why do you think, why do we say that? Are we living in an illusion? or is it real? I mean, God's given you wisdom. Where did that come from?
Came from Him. It's nothing from me whatsoever. I would make very bad judgment calls and decisions on my own. It's only when I am submissive to Christ and just knowing that He is with me, and if He goes before me, nothing can be against me.
Yeah, and that's the something great's going to happen today.
Yeah.
It's just really, it's what the cross paid for. It paid for a new consciousness. And read this, and then it says, where it says, let us draw near with a pure heart in full assurance of faith, with our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed in pure water. And let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Only good's going to happen to me. We lack nothing. Salvation is the foundation for everything that's going to happen. If you make that foundation weak by saying all those things we talked about, you know, all that we are and all we're incapable of, and start knowing you're going to feel the way the Word feels.
Yeah.
You're going to live the way the Word of God lives, and then that becomes alive in you.
It's a beautiful place to live.
And then what happens to the decisions you start making after that?
They're transformed. They're not self-seeking. They're not about you. They're what God puts on your heart, because you're listening for Him. You're able to hear now and discern differently than you were before.
Discern. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does that mean? What does discern mean? How am I discerning? I'm looking at life and seeing it correctly, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, making righteous judgment calls.
And how hard is that?
Very easy when you have Him.
Yeah, very easy. And when you make those other calls, it's like trying to make wrong right. We say it all the time. You can't make wrong right, no matter how.
No, you cannot.
No matter how hard you try. I mean, have you ever tried to make wrong right?
Yes, I have. And it led me closer to the Lord in the end, and that's what matters.
See, that's the thing. And that's a heartbeat. My steps are ordered of the Lord. Well, I was tried or I was challenged. Yeah, but when you set your mind on Him, which means, as David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not want, because He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me. I see Him just literally like the shepherd's hook. He just takes it around your waist or your neck sometimes. And He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Every place, where does God want you to go? Who's in charge? And if you say you are Christ, you're in charge. And you set your mind, remember, He came to purge our consciousness from dead works, from guilt, from sin, so we could think about Him correctly. And that's really what he did on the cross. He purged our consciousness so we could look at Him and say, He paid for it. It's not about what I'm incapable of. It's not about my shortcomings. It's not about me being human. It's about me being spirit. He that is born of spirit is spirit, and really believe in it. It's just one thing. Just one thing. Believe God, and all things come together. You lead me in the paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Even if it feels or looks or I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That means you don't point your finger at evil and say, well, evil's trying to do this and evil's... He just said, I will fear no evil. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to consider it. What did He consider? The Lord is with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because You are with me. Your rod... and Your staff, not people, not spirits, not Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, my cup runs over. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Oil what? The oil of joy, the oil of gladness. Only goodness and mercy will happen to me. And I'll dwell in Your presence now and forever. It's so good not to have to work so hard to be happy.
Yes, yes it is.
It's so good not to have to try to do the will of the Lord, but let the will of the Lord be done in you and through you. All right. Do you have a scripture or anything you want to close with or an idea?
Yeah, I have a scripture. It is Colossians 3:15, and it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." How awesome to know we don't only get to live in peace, but we're called to peace. That's a gift.
That's a gift, and it rules. Yes. Peace rules. Mm-hmm. We should have a bumper sticker, "Peace rules." Absolutely. The peace of God rules. All right, this is the greatest season of your life. Believe it, see it, say it, seize it. And Father, we pray for your people tonight. God, we pray for a transformed consciousness, for a confidence. The Lord's my shepherd. You will not want. He's leading you in the way you should go. You don't have to push your way through. You faith your way in. It's not a matter of tug of war. It's Christ has given you the victory. It's not a battle. It's not lacking. It's not wanting. He has given us sufficiency in all things. And I pray, God, you open up the hearts and the eyes of your people. As a prophet prayed, let them see how many, how much, how powerfully you are with us. And the victory is yours through Christ in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for profound joy, profound peace, profound wisdom and understanding. We thank you that we get to bring ourselves as a willing, surrendered sacrifice, and it is holy and acceptable. The sacrifice God wants is a sacrifice you are. Present yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and he'll prove through you his good, perfect will. Father, we give you praise for it. You lack nothing. You have everything, and this is the greatest season of your life. Thank you so much for your consistent support, for standing with us here at PFC, the team, the body, the family, for everything you do to help us do what we do, spread the gospel of good news, the message of Jesus Christ, and see lives transformed, people encouraged, healed, saved, set free, and to be able to listen, hear, and become a part of the spirit of revelation that abides in them, to awaken this generation to the call. God is for us. He's made you kings and priests unto our God, and he's given us dominion into earth to testify and glorify him. Christ within you, your hope of glory. God bless you. Thank you. Be encouraged. Until next time, go out with a prophetic shout. God bless.